Welcome to Good Oaks of Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. The Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We're doing a study through the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 13. And the good Lord willing, we should come to an end of chapter 13 as we continue our study through this book. If you've missed any of the teaching and you have a computer, you can go on www.ghtg, that's the initials for Good Hope Through Grace, www.ghtg.org. And we have all of our sermons on that particular site. So if you've missed any, or you'd like to hear some other sermons or get any information about our church, that's where you go to, www.ghtg.org. Well, it's good again to be back with you. And Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Let's go ahead and read what we're going to cover this evening and ask the Lord's blessing. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful once again to be on the radio. We're thankful for all those that are listening. And Father, we know that we can't do anything without your strength and ability. And Lord, we pray your blessings on what's about to be said. We pray that you'd use it for your glory. May your people be lifted up as a result of listening to your word. If anyone listening doesn't know you as your Savior, may tonight be the night of salvation for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's give these four verses a title. And we're going to title this A High Time to Awake. High Time to Awake. And of course, he's writing to the church at Rome. When you read in the Bible, Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, these were epistles. That means they were letters written to churches in these specific locations. And what he's doing with regard to the church of Rome here is he's encouraging them. He's telling them to wake. It's high time to awake. And I think he's talking this to people. Of course, he's writing this to a church. He's writing this to people that are saved. And he's encouraging them to wake up. And I think sometimes God's people kind of drift into inactivity. And they grow sometimes insensitive to what's going on around them. And there is a need to wake up and to get back about the Father's business. If you're not careful, you can get preoccupied with fleshy and worldly things, and then you're not about the Lord's business. And there is a need for a call to awake, and that's what this text is doing. He's calling upon them as God's people. He says it's knowing the time. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Now, certainly that is true in our land today, in our country today. There is a lot of professing Christians in our land, but at the same time, there's not a whole lot of practicing Christians in our land. Very little dedication to the things of the Lord, very little witnessing for the cause of Christ, and it's time for God's people to awake and see the seriousness of the time that we're living in and see the necessity to awake and live for the Lord and seek to spread His gospel. Many times we get just so preoccupied. The parable of the sower in the book of Luke chapter 8 talks about people that makes professions of faith and then they get preoccupied with other things. And it mentions three particular things that sometimes people get caught up with or preoccupied with, and they are cares. This is Luke 8 verse 14. Cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. And many times these things begin to take priority. We get our mind so preoccupied with cares. We get our mind so preoccupied with pleasures and worldly things that we don't have time for the Lord and world and spiritual things, which is the main things. In our priority list, if we're born again, Jesus is to be number one. He's not to be number two to anything. He's to be the top priority in our life and our service as His servants. Our service towards Him is to be the main thing in our life. So He's calling upon the Romans, the Roman Christians here, to awake. He said, it's high time to awake out of sleep. And maybe you're listening to me and maybe you've grown insensitive and dull spiritually and inactive. And perhaps the Holy Spirit will use this call here that He gave to the Romans 2,000 years ago to be a call to you today, that you need to wake up. Now, He gives the reason for this call, the reason why it's time to awake, and the reason is because it says knowing the time. It's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now, of course, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you trust Him, trust that He died on Calvary for your sin, then He saves your soul. Back in the book of Romans chapter 1, it speaks on believing. It spoke on believing. But in the book of Romans chapter 1, it says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. Now, the thing about believing is it means to trust. And to be saved is more than believing that there's a God, and it's more than believing in Bible creation. It's more than believing that there's a heaven and a hell. Believing means to trust Jesus. When it says we need to believe the gospel, it means we need to trust that Jesus died for us, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's what the gospel is defined as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, given to the Apostle Paul by divine revelation. That's the gospel message. You got to trust that He died for you. That's your sole hope of heaven, that He died for you and rose again the third day. That's what the gospel message is. That's what the gospel message is. Well, we trusted that message. And when we trusted that message, we were saved from sin's penalty. The book of Romans 8:1 said, there's therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation is hell. That's the penalty for sin. That's the penalty and the curse for breaking God's law. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You've got to be in Him. And you get in Him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get in Him. Now, back to our text. So, now that you're in Him, you're saved from sin's penalty. Well, but there's a future tense of our salvation, too. And that's what it's referring to here in the book of Romans, chapter 13, when He says that our salvation is nearer than when we believe. We've been saved from sin's penalty, but one of these days we're going to be saved from sin's presence. In other words, we live in a body now that still has sin in it. We live in a world now that still has sin in it, and it's a very sinful world that we indeed live in. But there's going to come a day when the Lord's going to take us out of here. He's going to come again, and when He comes again, He's going to give us a new body. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul spoke of this in Philippians 3. And he says, talking about Philippians 3, 20 and 21, it says that He shall change our vile body. This is a vile body that we live in. Even though we're born again, and even though we have the Spirit indwelling us, this is still a body of flesh. It ages, it gets old, and still has evil thoughts, and it still sins, it still does that which is wrong. We need to bring our body under subjection through the power of the Lord after that we're born again. But it's a constant struggle, really, throughout our life. We are constantly battling against our flesh. Well, my penalty's been paid, but one of these days I'm going to have a future aspect of redemption. I'm going to get a redeemed body. Another names for the second coming of Jesus, Luke 21, is it's called the day of redemption. Now, I've been redeemed. I've been born again. I've been set free from the bondage of my sin. But there's a day of redemption coming also. And on that day, that's when God's people receive this future aspect of their salvation. And they get a new body. We get a new body. And then we'll be saved from sin's presence. We'll never be around sin ever again. We'll be 100% body and spirit perfect. We'll be like Christ. 1 John chapter 3 says that when we see Him, we'll be like Him. And won't that be a glorious time? When we see the Lord, when we see Jesus, we will be like Him. Oh, to be like Jesus. Won't that be a glorious thing? And we look forward to that. Now, that's not that way now. We're to be Christ-like in our conduct and the way we conduct ourselves. People should see Jesus in us, but we won't be perfect. We're not totally like Him. Jesus is the only perfect man. And my friend, we should seek to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But until we get that new body, we're not going to be totally without sin. Well, we look forward to the day, the coming day of Jesus. That's what Romans 13 is referring to. We're looking forward to that time, this future time coming, when we will get a new body and we will be totally without sin. And we'll go, He'll take us to glory, and then He will bring a destruction of this earth. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And that will be the full benefit of our salvation then, when we're saved from not only sin's penalty, but from the very presence of sin. Well, that time is fast approaching, and that's the point of the text. It says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. What day is it? Well, that's the day of the Lord's coming, the day when we get our new body, the day when Jesus comes with a trump, and Jesus comes with the clouds of glory. And He'll send forth His angels and gather together His elect from the four corners of the earth and from one end of heaven to the other. That day is at hand. Now, He wrote that 2,000 years ago that today was at hand. And that simply means that there's nothing else that has to happen. The only reason why the Lord hadn't come yet is He's still saving His people. But as far as something having to happen before He comes, there isn't. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, He explains why He hadn't come yet. And it says in verse 9 of 2 Peter 3, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise. That's the promise of His coming. He's not being slack concerning it, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason why the Lord hadn't come yet is because He's still saving His people. He's still finding His lost sheep. One of the things Jesus told the unbelieving Jews in His day, in the Gospel of John chapter 10, He said, "Ye believe not, because ye are not My sheep, not of My sheep. My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." He's still calling His people. He's still saving His sheep. He's still bringing them in. John chapter 6, 37 says, "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that comes to Me, I will in no wise cast him out." So the day is far, the time is at hand. The day is far spent. The time of His coming is drawing near. And since that is true, man, we need to wake up. I mean, the time for serving the Lord is now. Now, you say, "Well, Jeff, it's been 2,000 years. We don't know when Jesus is coming." That's true. That is true. I'll give you the reason why He hadn't come. He's still saving. When that last sheep is brought into the fold, that's when He'll come. But I'm going to tell you something. That could happen before this radio broadcast is done. The next thing on God's agenda is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, He said, "He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son." We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. As I said, the next thing on His agenda is His coming. But my friend, if He would come before this broadcast is done, are you awake or are you asleep? It's high time that you wake up. Now, if Jesus don't come here in the next year or so, or today or tomorrow, it may be a while before He comes, or it could be at any time. The Bible says He comes as a thief. It's unexpected. But it's at hand. That means nothing else really has to happen as far as prophetic events in order for the King to come. That when does a thief come? He comes when you least expect it. Then many people will be caught unexpected whenever Jesus comes. Are you ready to meet Him? If you knew He was coming before this broadcast was done, are you ready to meet Him? Now, either the Lord's going to come or you're going to die. That's another thing you don't know. If you believe that there's a God and you believe that there's an eternity, then, my friend, you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and quit putting that off and gambling with your eternal soul. This may be the last time that you're given a warning, and this may be the last time that you hear this message. If you've never trusted Jesus, then you need to trust Him now. You don't even need to wait to the end of the broadcast. You just need to trust Him. Lord, I want to trust You. I want to trust that You died for me. I want to be saved from my sin. In the book of Acts, we're told about a man that said, God be merciful. God be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, not the book of Acts, but the book of Luke. God be merciful to me. We're told about the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And he cried out, the publican cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that that man went home justified rather than the other. That's the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 13 and verse 14. What did he do? He realized he was lost. He called upon the Lord's name. And the Bible says that that man went home justified. Acts chapter 4 says there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. Jesus is the only way, the only means by which you can be ready to meet Him in life or in death. So I pray, my friend, that you'll wake up. Some of you are listening to me or saved, but you've not been serving Him. You've just kind of, you need woke up. You need stirred up. And sometimes God's people needs that. And I pray that you take it this way. There'll be some people, verse John chapter 2 and verse 28 speaks of a people that will be ashamed before Him at His coming. Don't you want to be found about the Lord's business when He comes? Don't you want to be found active in His service when He comes? You wouldn't want to be found serving the things of the world, would you? My friend, if you're a servant of Jesus, you need to be serving Him because you love Him. I will serve thee because I love thee. So, He's calling for them at the Church of Rome to wake up. To wake out of their sleep because their salvation, that's the future tense. Talking about when Jesus comes, the day of the Lord. When all that's happening, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now He begins to tell them they need to cast off some things and then He needs to put on some things. Not only do you need to be ready for His coming, but now that you're born again, now that you're saved, you need to cast off the works of darkness. Now that you know Jesus, you're not to continue to live a lifestyle of sin. You need to seek to put sin out of your life because you love the Lord. You'll remember in the Gospel of John, there was a woman taken in adultery in the very act. And the Pharisees and the scribes brought her before Jesus. They wanted Him to give the command to have her stoned to death, not because they cared about the law, really, but because they wanted to get Him in trouble with the Roman government. Either way they looked at it, it would cause Him problems. Jesus paid them no mind, but He looked at them and said, ye without sin, cast the first stone. And they were convicted, both all of them, and they walked away from Him one at a time as their conscience convicted them. And you know what Jesus said to this woman? I want you to see something, folks. He bestowed upon that woman His mercy and His grace. She didn't deserve to be forgiven. She was guilty. But the Master bestowed upon her mercy. That's what mercy is. And one of the things, if you're listening to me and you're born again, you should thank Jesus for every day of your life. You should thank Him for the mercy that He bestowed upon you. That should never grow old for you. If I got what I deserved, the earth would open up and I'd slide right into hell. But I never got what I deserved. God bestowed upon me His mercy and His grace. And I'm forever grateful and forever praise Him for Him saving my soul and giving me mercy. Well, you know what else He told the woman? He said, "Woman, where is thy accuser? There is none to condemn you." And she said, "No man, Lord." He said, "Neither will I condemn you." Then what did He say? "Go and sin no more." She wasn't to go forth and continue to live in sin anymore. Her lifestyle was to change. And when someone's had a new birth, their lifestyle will change. Old things will pass away. All things will indeed become new. Well, I pray that when you look at your life, that that's what you see. It says in Romans chapter 13, it says, "Let us walk honestly." And the idea of the word honestly, we're to walk decently. We're to have a decent walk. Our walk is our lifestyle. The book of Ephesians 5 says, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're the light of the Lord. Walk as the children of light." We're to walk like a child of God. And that's just our lifestyle, how we live. People need to be able to look at our life by how we live and by what we do and by what we don't do and be able to tell that we're Christians. Let me quote the verse again, or read the verse, Ephesians 5:8. "Ye were sometimes darkness. Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as a child of light." Ephesians 4, verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk." Don't walk as other Gentiles walk. We're to walk as a child of light. Well, back to Romans chapter 13. So knowing the time is drawing near, knowing that His coming is drawing closer and He could come at any time, we need to wake up and serve the Lord. And we need to live a life that is dedicated to Him because we love Him. But remember, my friend, you can't serve Him till you're saved. You got to be saved. You got to have His Holy Spirit in you before you can serve Him. You got to have your sin debt paid for before you can serve Him. So He's using the second coming in this text, the time of His coming, the future part of our salvation, the day we get our new body. He's using that as an encouragement to wake up and serve the Lord. And He's telling them to walk honestly, to walk decently. That's the idea of the word. Our walk is to be a decent walk. Matthew 5 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." See, the purpose of good works is for the glory of God. You don't do good works to get saved. And I'm going to tell you one more time, if you're doing your good works to get saved, then you're just trying to save yourself. That's not salvation by grace. Salvation by grace means that it's not by works. When you say you're saved by grace, it means not by works. You're saved by what Jesus did. Salvation's a gift of God. And a gift is something that someone else purchases. A gift is something that someone else worked for, and they give it to you. You receive it. Well, now that you've received the gift of salvation by grace, you work. You're not working to get it, nor are you working to keep it. You're working to bring glory to the Lord. Now what Matthew 5 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father." That's why you do it. He saved you. He redeemed you. He gave you His mercy. He gave you His grace. And then you serve Him. You serve Him because you love Him. And when people see your walk, it brings glory to King. So now, since the day's approaching and we're to be about His business, He says, walk honestly. Walk honestly. Have a proper walk, a decent walk. Walk as a child of light. Live as a child of light. That's the idea. Now, He goes on and says some things not to do. It says, not in rioting and drunkenness. Now, those two words really go together. Not in carousing and drunkenness. And boy, that's taken over our land, is it not? It's taken over our young people, too. Hard to turn on a television set without seeing some type of beer commercial. Hard to turn on a television set without seeing some show that depicts drunkenness and rioting. My friends, if you take a feast of that every day, but taking that in through your eyes every day, it'll have a negative influence on how you think. It's a shame at what God's people watch and what young people watch. We're not to walk. We're to walk honestly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. The idea of chambering is adultery. Wantonness is unbridled lust. It's immorality. But we're not to live immoral lives. We're to have a walk that is decent and represents the Lord, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, which is immorality, not in strife and envying. It's a shame how many churches are filled with strife and envying. And here it's supposed to represent the Lord. Isn't that a shame? But many times you have a lot of strife and envying, even in churches. These are things that needs to not be. He says we're to walk, we're to have a proper and a decent walk because we represent the Lord. And we're not to walk in these sins that we just mentioned and we just read about. And have a decent walk. Last of all, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Him. Like He would a coat, we put on Him when we got saved. Now He needs to, people need to see Jesus in us. When they look at us, they need to see Jesus. The Bible says, may others see Jesus in you. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You represent Him. You want to represent Him well, but you want people to see Jesus in you. You got to remember on your job and where you go to school at, you're the only Bible some people ever read. The only things they'll learn about Jesus is by watching how you speak, talk, act, and conduct yourself. Represent Him well. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says, make no provision for the flesh. If you're not careful, you'll set yourself up to fall. If you run with a group whose lifestyle is a lifestyle of sin, in time they will pull you into sin. The Bible says, come out from amongst the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You're to be kind and loving and helpful to those that are lost. But my friend, when the sinning begins to happen, you need to separate yourself and be a child of God. That's hard to do at times. If you're not careful, you'll make a provision for yourself to fall. If the computer's a problem for you or if the TV's a problem for you, then you need to get rid of it. Because you'll be setting yourself up to fall. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't put yourself in a situation where you know you're weak in, where you may indeed fall. Well, folks, we're coming to an end tonight. I pray that the message was a blessing to you. It's high time to awake. And I pray if you're listening, you never trusted Jesus. You trust Him now. You've not been serving Him. I pray that you start serving Him again as you once did. May God add His blessings to His Word.